You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Today we've got an interesting topic to talk about. We've spoken about Ouija board. We've spoken about the demon Zozo. We've spoken about many different topics surrounding the paranormal like this. But during June and July of 2017, paranormal investigator Tim Wood conducted an experiment where he contacted the Ouija board demon known as Zozo every night for a month. This was the first time that a paranormal research team has conducted an experiment of this nature and then live streamed it to tens of thousands of witnesses and then published its results 2 months later. Now, aside from that, this is his personal story of a lifelong quest into the realm of the demonic and how that brought him not only into contact with the Zozo entity, but with an author with a very different background. Tim Wood started the world's first ever live online paranormal show, LiveSciFi.tv, in search of the paranormal back in 2006. The show aired in San Francisco and consisted of two ghost hunts, which aired live on LiveSciFi.tv. Since then, Tim and the LiveSciFi.tv crew have investigated over 600 reported haunted locations in the United States. They've had over 1 billion online viewed minutes of his program and paranormal adventures. He's here with us this evening, and he's brought along Selena Summer. She's an award-winning author, freelance journalist, and editor. Her writing ability and research skills paved the way to her education, which she was a nationally recognized public speaker, is a debater and collegiate writer. Her nonfiction book, Stalked by the Zozo Demon, Real Life Paranormal Experience, co-authored with Live Sci-Fi founder Tim Wood, will be released this September 22nd. She's an expert on folklore, mythology, history, and the arcane, and she uses legitimate primary source documentation as the basis for her work, never buying into an urban legend and always asking the questions. Her purpose is not to prove a haunting, but for the haunting to prove itself to her. They're here this evening to talk to us about this very strange experiment. Tim, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you join us again.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
And Selena, thank you for giving us a little bit of your time today and sharing your insights on this.
Well, I really appreciate being here, so thank you very much.
Have you had, Selena, your own experiences with the paranormal before this experiment that just took place over June and July?
Yeah, actually I have. I started researching topics in the paranormal for myself in the late 1980s because of a couple of experiences I had, as a young adult. But experiencing the paranormal is kind of on everybody's bucket list, and I don't think they realize that when it actually happens, it's gone so fast that it either terrifies you permanently or it makes you permanently curious about it, and that's what ended up happening to me.
Or a little bit of both in some cases, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. But for the most part, I think that first experience is what takes a person from having an interest in the paranormal mm-hmm. to to pursuing it as an investigator or a researcher. At least that's the way it's worked for me and multiple other investigators that I've talked to over the years.
Tell me a little bit about the type of experiences you've had in your life. I mean, what kind of category would you put them in?
Well, I grew up about 15 miles away from probably the most historic American haunting. I grew up in Clarksville, Tennessee, which is close to Adams, which is where the Bell Witch haunting took place.
Okay.
And I knew the owners of the farm, that all of the, you know, like the cave and the cemetery and the ruins of the house were at. So I started researching it for Arthur Copid, who was a playwright who came into my college. And I got hooked because I figured out that if I left a recorder in the cave, sometimes things would be said on it when nobody was around it. I didn't even know what an EVP was. I was just a dumb kid playing around with it. And, you know, the Bell Witch haunting is no joke. And probably my most terrifying experience ever investigating the paranormal happened at that cave. There's a big front room and a small back room and a tunnel in between. And we were in the tunnel and all the lights went out in the cave. So I thought somebody was being a smart aleck. I yelled at him to turn on the lights. We got back out and there's like a little landing right before you go up the big steep cliff path. And while we were standing there wondering, you know, where the jerk was that turned out the lights, all the lights went out again and a huge iron gate slammed shut behind us. So I didn't run up that cliffside trail, but I walked pretty fast.
I didn't run, but I walked.
I walked really fast.
You were getting EVP, though, just by leaving the recorder in the caves and coming back to retrieve it later?
Yeah, I was. And if they weren't always, like, voices. So I got organ music on it, on a little cassette recorder. And after a while, you know, we started doing like questions and waiting for answers. But this was back when recorders were like cassette recorders.
Right.
And the Bell property has a history too of not being very cooperative with electronic equipment. Actually right around the same time the TV show Unsolved Mysteries came out to try to film a segment. And the cameras would work on top of the cliff. But once they got into the cave, they didn't work. And this went on for like 3 days before I think they finally gave up on it.
This experiment, how did it come to your attention? And then we'll talk with Tim about setting this experiment up and what he was hoping to accomplish.
Well, Tim and I have worked together for a while. I've researched for him for some of the cases that he goes to investigate. And I had actually approached him like maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. about doing a nonfiction book based on his experiences because the live sci-fi, you know, paranormal investigation style is so different from what most people think it should be. And so this summer, I was recovering from back surgery, so it seemed like a perfect time to take on a nonfiction project. And we started talking. And as I was interviewing him, we started to notice that there was a definite string of events that linked him to this specific entity. And that's how Tim came up with the idea of conducting this experiment to create an environment that in a non-haunted location and to see how changing the parameters or changing the trigger objects or the environment would affect each session. And at that point, you know, Tim started doing the sessions and I started transcribing every video word for word, and that's how the book came about. Between that and, you know, lacing in some of Tim's personal experiences on prior investigations and also from his childhood, I was able to pick out a storyline that actually, to me, I find fascinating.
All right. Well, Tim, let's talk about this. Now, investigating known locales for their haunted stories and histories is one thing. But to try to incite and evoke a demon that a lot of people are very traumatized by dealing with, what was your intention and thought behind doing something like that?
Well, my main thought in doing it was just to see if it could be done. For me, when it comes to the paranormal, I'm just super curious to see, not only what locations can give, but also, one of the theories that I've always had with the show is, with the tulpas and thought form manifestations and just with the mere energy of people, watching these live shows, if we can get things to manifest. So, that was part of the experiment, but the other part was, I did a show last year with Darren Evans at the Zozo Demon House over Halloween. It was a 5-day show, and back in, before I talk about that, but back in 2008, one of the very first times that I've ever used a Ouija board was at the Stanley Hotel. It was the first time I ever actually put my hands on one. And I had never heard of Darren Evans, never heard of his story, but that was the first time that I got Zozo on a Ouija board. And I had no idea what it was or anything like that. In fact, there's even video of that session of me saying, calling it Bozo. I thought it was a clown or something. And ever since then, it's come up sporadically on these sessions. And it's just really... really intrigued me to see if I could actually get responses, from this entity over a month-long session, and seeing if I could back that up, not only through Ouija sessions, but through audio that I was picking up on voice recorders and through other types of, data that I had hooked into the sessions. And, it was pretty revealing to see, as the sessions went on and on, the responses that I was getting, not only through the board, but, through the audio equipment were actually a lot. They were, gaining a lot more intelligence, and the responses were just, scary. It was really intriguing, but scary at the same time, and super draining.
Why would you want to call upon what people refer to as a demon, though? And then were you worried that if this truly is something of a demonic nature, by streaming it to tens of thousands of viewers, is there a chance of issues taking place? And I don't even necessarily mean in the supernatural realm. I mean, let's be honest and call a spade here. And the fact that some people in this field are willing to accept anything as a haunting and will jump at the slightest intonation that something might be demonic. Weren't you afraid just legally that by doing this, if somebody thought they were possessed by watching this or being a part of this, would somehow involve you? Or did you have waivers for people that wanted to watch this and be a part of this program?
No, I don't. But I do think, when you are dealing with, the demonic, the biggest, at least what I believe, the biggest problem that I think, or, that can happen is by not even acknowledging its presence. And I think that, people have to put this to the side. There has to be research done into this, because I do believe that, you have to, at least I believe that, my purpose, and it's really strange, but I believe that my purpose was to, and it came out with working with Selena, that, as we started, putting the book together, I almost feel like it was like, one of my purposes in life was to document, this phenomena. And for, all the people out there, every day I get, 100, maybe, it depends on the day, but I can get anywhere from 10 to 100 emails from people out there who are experiencing the phenomena. And, then you also get the people out there saying that it's fake, I think that there's a lot of people out there who don't have the ability to, document or videotape their sessions or, put them up on YouTube. But, I think that this book and me doing this experiment is for all the people out there who have experienced it and who can go back and, you know, feel almost like some sense of validation that what they are experiencing is real.
All right. Selena, did you have any reservations about getting involved in something like this because there was potential for communication with the demonic realm?
I came into this with a fairly fixed opinion on what I thought the Zozo phenomenon entailed. I've researched the phenomenon, and I can't validate that this is a demonic entity. But when I was going into it, I mean, you're always going to worry when you're working with anything in the paranormal that something is going to attach to you or, you know, somehow infiltrate your life in an unpleasant way. But as far as considering the Zozo entity a demon, going into this experiment, I didn't think it was at all.
Okay, well, then give us some insight on that. What did you believe it was then?
I thought, and in a way still do think, that the Zozo entity is actually kind of an alias, that it's a personality that a spirit assumes when it comes into contact with somebody on the board. Almost any demonologist will tell you that a demon is very reluctant to reveal its name. And 9 times out of 10, that's what the Zozo entity does almost immediately upon appearing on the board. Z-O-Z-O-Z-O. From the outset, because of that, I was convinced this wasn't a demonic entity. Now, my opinion on that has changed slightly since the experiment.
Okay.
Because the experiment surprised me. It surprised me seriously. It got very dark, very fast, and every session was darker than the one before.
Well, speaking of getting dark, let me make a quick mention. Blinds Galore Labor Day sale starts Wednesday, August 30th. And that's when you can get up to 50% off everything. You've worked hard all summer. Let's Blind Galore make it easy for you to get custom blinds and shades during one of their biggest sales of the year. And I want to tell you something, folks. As a father, one thing that's really helped me out, if you have very active children and children that have a hard time falling asleep at night, getting the blackout blinds has been a big help for me and for my children. I can't sleep even with the slightest sliver of light in my room. So I was looking for blackout blinds that worked, would conveniently fit in my room, didn't look cheap and shoddy like the stuff you can get at the big box stores. And I contacted Blinds Galore with my interest, needs, sizes, everything. And I can tell you, they gave me exactly what I was looking for. They create a 100% custom window treatment built to your exact measurements, down to every exact detail. Whether it's blinds, shades, shutters, drapery, they have it all, and they make it easy. These are designer products, but they don't have that designer price tag. This has helped my kids get a better night, more rested night's sleep. Plus, when it's pitch black, you have a much less chance of seeing shadow people and things in your room. So trust me, this is a service for you as much as it is for them. And if you love listening to our show, then I want you to do me a favor, personal favor. I know Blinds Galore is not an impulse buy. It's not something that you just think, hey, let's go get Blinds Galore because Darkness Dave said so. But I'm going to tell you this. It's the time of year. Get these. Look for them. And if you are going to get window treatments, do me the favor of checking out Blinds Galore for yourself. They've got free shipping. They'll even send you up to 15 free samples right to your door. Again, all for free. And you can do it right from your home as well. This is more than a blinds aisle in a store. These are blinds and window treatment experts. So you can put a toe tag on the old boring blinds and window treatments in your home. Get something special with Blinds Galore. Again, become a believer. Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, especially during their upcoming Labor Day sale. The sale starts August 30th, so check out blindsgalore.com now and let them know I sent you. That's blindsgalore.com. blindsgalore.com. You'll also be able to find these links by visiting us at podcast1.com. Click on the Killer Deals link, and you'll be able to find all of our advertisers under the Beyond the Darkness banner. So help us by supporting the great advertisers that step up to make the show happen for you and keep it as free as of as many commercials as we possibly can. Blinds Galore Labor Day sale starts Wednesday, August 30th, and that's when you can get up to 50% off everything. This is the time to get those blinds, to get the window treatments and the blackout blinds. You're going to love them. I can guarantee you that's what we have in our house. That's what you're going to love in your house. Our guests right now, we're talking about this strange Zozo experiment. And I want to know, Tim, when you set this up, what were the parameters? What were you looking to really try to do and separate yourself from other investigators?
Yeah, so, I mean, one, we were trying to come in contact with it, of course. We had set up the initial experiment. We ran for 2 weeks at a non-haunted location. We used different boards, Ouija boards, throughout, I mean, the years of live streaming, people have sent me haunted objects. So there were, I have about a collection of 20 boards that people have sent me where they just wanted to get rid of the boards. And those, some of the boards that I used during the experiment were Zozo boards. There was also another board that I had used last year.
And when you say Zozo boards, these are boards where people wanted to get rid of the boards because Zozo had taken over and was communicating to them through that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So they were already tainted with that, or reported to be tainted. Right. I had also
they were already plugged into that quick dial number, so you had it right there.
Exactly. And I had used you know, I'd actually bought new boards, brand new boards right off the shelf, and I had used those as well. And with each session, we ran audio with them. We're using a Panasonic RR DR60 that was actually given to me by the Constantinos. So I was using that and then also running EMF and just, you know, basic, you know, environmental stuff to see if there was any change with that. And, you know, it was pretty strange. There, we also ran, there were some objects too that, one of them had mysteriously showed up on my doorstep, during, after a Ouija session the night before. When we were actually running the experiment, and there were a bunch of markings on it and just weird things. Selena had done the research on that. She can speak more about that, but that was really strange. That showed up on my door, I think 2 days after we started doing the experiment. And what's strange about that is that I had just moved to a new house. No one knew my address or anything. I've not given my address out to any viewers or anything like that. It was a fresh, you know, I just moved in to this home and this object just wound up on my car, which was really odd. I have no idea how it got there, who put it there. But interesting enough, that object actually seemed to tie in with some of the phenomena that we were picking up on the sessions.
Okay, well, and, can you give us a little clue on what this object was?
Yeah, it was a,
it was a voodoo doll.
Yeah, it was a voodoo doll.
Okay. Were you a little nervous to tell me, Tim? It's a,
the thing just gives me the creeps. I mean, I don't know. It was just the weirdest thing to wake up the next morning to go out and get some milk and some groceries and to find a voodoo doll on my car. And I had never, like, come across one before.
Oh, suck it up, Tim.
It was just one of the strangest.
Was it a homemade voodoo doll? You know, a lot of these stores now, you know, by the registers, they've got these kind of weird, twiny-looking voodoo dolls that you can buy. Was it one of those?
No.
Or was it homemade?
No. No, it was actually, last weekend when we were at the Goatman's Bridge, we actually took the thing apart. I actually brought it out because Selena had never seen it before, and she was really, really curious. So she had asked me when we were, you know, at the hotel if she could take one of the, I guess, strings out and see if there was anything inside of it. And I didn't know I'm not a voodoo doll, like, expert or anything like that, but she took the doll apart, and there was a bunch of just weird stuff in it. Selena, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. The doll is obviously from the 1930s or 40s, and it was stuffed with newspaper pictures of people's faces. The newspapers were in Spanish, and it was quite evident that nobody had bought this in a store. It actually looked like somebody bought this antique voodoo doll and repurposed it to curse Kim, because written on the doll were three French words. That was vingt huit nuits, which means, 28 nights or darkness, and 28 is a number that has been linked to the Zozo phenomenon. So that would be my guess, that this doll was set up as a negative curse. His face was blacked out, a leg was broken inside, and it was actually kind of fascinating. It was sort of like a time capsule of hatred.
A time capsule of hatred. Wow, Tim.
Yeah, whoever put that doll together way back when really hated the people that she was cursing.
Holy cow. So have you had any ill effect from this figurine, this doll?
Well, since I got it, it was really, well, I had some back issues back in August. I had just a lot of back pain, and it was probably late July, August. I went to the doctor, and they told me that I had a broken bone in my spine, which I cannot explain. It was really strange. I started the experiment. I was in okay health. But as the experiment went on, I was getting stuff like on the board, talking about my back, crackle, pop, there's one session where it says, snap, crackle, pop. Later on, I went to the doctor, they did a, MRI, and, they told me I had a broken bone in my back, and I have no idea how I got that. It's the weirdest thing. They asked me if I was a gymnast or, did anything crazy? I'm like, no, been in a car accident. No, just walking around, haven't fallen or anything like that. So how I got that, I don't know. And I've never had back problems, up until, we started working on the book and the experiment.
All right. Well, you start to hear stuff like that, Selena. Does that start to put a little nervous, twitch in your britches? When your partner on this is getting voodoo dolls and back pains that suddenly show up out of nowhere.
The thing of it is the way that the whole month progressed, all of this was so gradual that was hard to pick out these threads of, these continuous threads that were linking all this whole story together. I started to get concerned probably about 2 weeks into the experiment for a couple of reasons. First off, Tim was, obviously getting drained and dangerously close, in my opinion, to things that probably were best left alone. And second thing is I started to experience some things in my completely non-haunted house. So at that point, I was of the opinion that we were dealing with a little bit more than just a regular entity. But I wasn't ready to call it demonic yet.
What type of activity started to occur in your definitely not haunted house?
Excuse me. Well, I got chased from room to room one night with things like knocking on the walls or on the floor. I went to the bedroom with my husband. We have a big platform bed with drawers underneath it, and something knocked up on the underside of it. And, just piddling little things that normally don't bother me, but also normally don't usually happen in my house. So I was of the opinion that whatever Tim was getting close to, it was starting to really create a paranormal backlash, both at his house, where it was much more severe, but also at mine. And as a writer and researcher, that makes me more curious. It doesn't, scare me off the trail. I want to know why.
Sure.
And that's kind of the way Tim is, too. So we just kept plugging away, and it kept getting darker.
Well, let's find out what happened as this experiment launched. What were the messages that Zozo had to share, or was he just letting him know that he was there? We'll find out about that when we return with more with Selena and Tim after the break.
Beyond the Darkness.
Hey, do me a favor. Welcome back to the show. This is Beyond the Darkness. Remember to take care of all of our advertisers, guys, and just pay them a little visit. Any support you can give them helps the show a long way. And I know some of you are a few weeks behind in listening to these shows, and you might have missed out on a sale. You might have missed out on this. You might have missed out on this. But just try to take advantage of the different items. When you need something, keep us in mind. And I know sometimes it's real easy to let it gloss over, and then, you know, I know a lot of you end up using some of the advertisers later on when you get to that point and you need a new car or you need windows or window replacements. So just keep us in mind because, again, every time you help out our advertisers, that helps to keep us on the air. And don't forget about Blind Galore's the Labor Day sale that starts tomorrow, Wednesday, August 30th, and you get up to 50% off everything. So you've worked hard all summer. Let Blinds Galore make it easy to get your custom blinds, window shades, blackout drapes, whatever you need during their biggest sale of the year. Become a believer. Blinds Galore will make it easy for you, and use that link I told you about earlier so you can check it out. It's blindsgalore.com. The sale starts August 30th. So check it out at blindsgalore.com and tell them that you heard about it here on Beyond the Darkness. We appreciate that. We're back with our guests, Selena Summers and Tim Wood, the voodoo-cursed Tim Wood, as we talk about the Zozo demon experiment that they did. All right, let's get in here. The Zozo experiment. You wanted to find out what would happen if you contacted this Zozo entity over the course of a month. And these sessions that you conducted, they were in a location that had no history of a haunting, right? So that the parameters were, you know, would be set and you'd understand what's going on there. Were you always doing it in the same place at the same time every day? How did that go?
Yeah, we pretty much did the sessions between 10 and 10 o'clock p.m. Pacific time to midnight. And, you know, sometimes most of the sessions were done with just me. And there were probably about five or six sessions that were done with other people. I would have people come up and have them hop on the board. Sometimes they would do it alone, and sometimes they would hop on it with me. And a couple of the people that I had on there were, they had no idea what was going on. Patrick, you know, he came out there and he was just freaked out. And it was really strange because it seemed as soon as we mentioned the name Zozo, the activity in that room that we were doing it in would just ramp up. As soon as, you know, it's almost as if the power is in the name itself. And there were a couple of times where we actually got the word abracadabra on the Ouija board. And the word abracadabra is actually an old Aramaic saying, which is, I believe the meaning of it in Aramaic is the power, or I think it's the exact translation is I create as I speak. And if you apply that to Zozo, you know, I think that's very important because, you know, as you're saying the name out loud, or if, you know, people that are watching the show, you know, live are typing it in chat, it's almost as if the entity is manifesting as we are speaking it or talking about it. And every time that we did the session, as soon as I would, you know, enter the room, turn the camera on and, say its name, the activity would not only increase like around the board, but in the room, all around the room. I would have objects moving. There would be black shadow figures. There would be, you know, EVPs that would come through, even audible sounds that would manifest that would have no, you know, I could not figure out what was, you know, what was creating them. There was nobody else in the room with me. Patrick, when he came in there and we started the session, he just made a note that he said as soon as, you know, we started talking about it, it's as if the entity infected like the whole area around it. You know, it was just, it was pretty crazy. But, you know, in the entity not only seemed interested in me, but it also seemed interested in the people that were watching the show, which was really, in a way, really fascinating to me and somewhat spooky. But the entity was actually giving, you know, details about people who, viewers who had recently lost, you know, family members to illnesses and, you know, giving birth dates and only like specific information that they would know. And sometimes these people weren't even watching live. They would, you know, send me an email and they would, you know, say, hey, you know, this, for whatever reason, it mentioned, you know, my maiden name. You know, their maiden names aren't even on Facebook. They're not on social media. You know, we had one viewer, Jane, who had, when I was on the board, it was talking about her father who had recently passed away and very like specific information, that only she would know. And that just really, really, you know, creeped me out, you know, that, that the entity or whatever it was giving out this information. It's almost as if it wanted. Jane had remarked that, you know, when she initially got interested in live sci-fi because she was, you know, she started using a Ouija board, but she had stopped after watching some of the sessions that I had done. And it was right before she had watched that she had actually contemplated in using the Ouija board. But then after, you know, she got that information, she just thought it was just so weird and so creepy that, you know, she was a little bit curious, but, you know, she decided not to use it. So it was very, you know, interesting to see that not only the responses that I would get, but some of the responses that were directed towards the people that were watching.
Well, I know Selena weighed in a little bit earlier kind of on some thoughts. What exactly do you think you're dealing with here? Is this a demon? Is it a collective consciousness? Is it an elemental being? What do you think you're really dealing with on this spectrum? Because, again, you know, I being who I am, I could see if I decided to stay here earthbound and wanted to keep an eye on my family, I could see being the smartass that would just keep going and pushing the planchette to Zozo just to freak people out. Not being a demon myself, but just being a dick. You know, I could see being that guy. Where do you weigh in on this at this point? Do you believe that there is evil intent behind it or more psychological from the people involved in the experiment? Tim?
Yeah, I'm here. Was that directed towards Selena or me?
Towards you. Selena kind of weighed in a little bit earlier on some of the thoughts, but I'm curious what your thoughts were.
You know, I believe that the general, you know, I'm not a demonologist by any means. I don't claim to be, but when you look at demons, at least in, you know, the Christianity, demons, let's say, most of them have traits. And I do believe that the biggest trait that Zozo exhibits is curiosity. And what does curiosity always do? It eventually kills the cat. And I believe that's ultimately what this entity tries to get people to do. It tries to get them to use the Ouija board. And what I found is that, you know, as I started doing these sessions, as creepy as the results were that I was getting each night, and as they got creepier, I became more and more curious, almost to the point where I was addicted to using the board. And I do think that Zozo is not a demon in itself, but I do believe that, there are demons that in fact that it's almost like a personality or a side name or something that these demons use for, that use the word Zozo for. So, because we did get three specific demon names on the board that, for whatever reason, kept popping up, not only on the board, but there were some locations where I would visit that the synchronicity of how these things were popping up in relation to the experiment that I was doing was just too weird. And one of those locations was at the Sally House.
Okay, well, give us some insight. Sally House has been a very strange and violent haunting, but usually directed towards Tony, the ex-inhabitant of the house. I know a lot of times people go in and investigate, and even though he's far away, Tony will end up taking some kind of abuse. What was your experience like?
Well, so our last investigation there, we had used, the board, and we were, for whatever reason, I had used it in this one corner of the basement. I don't know why I was just drawn to it, and I thought, hey, you know, we would do a Ouija session down in this corner, and it ended up being the southeast corner of the house, and it had mentioned, I guess during the board session, I think that we would find something, or there was something, you know, that it said that we would find up in, you know, one of the rooms. So in the past, we had done like some luminol experiments just to see if we would get anything that would turn up. But this time around, we just had a black light. And what was really strange is that when we shined the black light on the master bedroom and the Sally's room, above the actual doors, there were Latin initials. And those, one of the initials was for the name of a demon. And there was also a cross that you could only see with the black light that was inscribed on the doors, each one of the doors upstairs. And for whatever reason, there were two upstairs, and then there was one exactly where I did the Ouija session. And those names that popped up were the names of the three demons that we had picked up during the month-long session in July.
Were there ever any points that you felt that you were under attack, or that there was something evil around you while you were doing the sessions?
Yes, I still feel that there's something around me right now. And it was really strange. We were at the Goatman's Bridge, and I hopped, Selena was there. I hopped on a Ouija board session with someone who had never even seen the show before. We actually did a session while the eclipse was happening right on the bridge. And I hopped on one with Darren, and then, his friend was there, and she had never seen the show before. But she is an empath, and when she hopped on the board with me, it was more than, I think, a minute. She got up and ran away, and she was like, you know, I can't do this. There's something around you really, really bad. And I was like, I mean, I felt it like on and off, and I told Selena this, that, you know, I'm probably gonna have to get taken care of. But there's been times too, even at my house, it started up where, you know, I started seeing things like out of the corner of my eye. And, you know, I've experienced things like that before growing up in my parents' house, and it just kind of, you know, I have this switch that when I'm at home, no matter like what's happening, if it's paranormal, I just kind of ignore it. But the things that, like, I started experiencing as I was doing this experiment is that, they started to get more and more, obvious, not only to me, but to like my dog and stuff like that. But there were times where I would see, you know, black shadow figures just pacing in and out. You know, like my back problems, there were, you know, times where, I would have things just, it sounds crazy, like I would set up for a show, and I'm very organized when I set up for a show. I put all my voice recorders out and everything, and I would turn around and it would be gone. And there were just like things like that that would just happen. And, you know, it's just unexplainable. I can't explain it, like, you know, especially the dark shadow figures, but it definitely seems like as, you know, as I got more and more deeper into the sessions, the activity around me also increased. And it seems to like increase now as I like mention the name or I do anything, you know, Zozo related.
What do you think then when you do this experiment over a period of 30 days and yet here you are, you know, months later, it's there's some kind of energy still around you, some kind of dark force still at play. And Selena, you were saying earlier you didn't really know if you felt like this was demonic in nature. What else? What do you think this could be? What could be stalking Tim at this point?
Well, that's kind of where my skeptical, rational brain is having a conflict with what I've witnessed. As I said, I went into this thinking that this was basically like the Peter experiment, where somebody made up a entity and got all these other people to do it and kind of fueled it that way. But there were a couple of things that happened over the course of the experiment. And one thing that happened before, which made me very suspicious. That's why I think the Zozo name is an alias. I think it's used by multiple demonic entities. I think that all you have to do to see what kind of a toll it takes on a person is to watch the videos throughout the experiment and just look at the changes in Tim's face. They're very, very blatant changes. So at right now, do I think Zozo is a demon? No. But I do think that it is a gateway to the demonic.
Did you do anything, Tim, to try to close these sessions down and bind this demon or these entities at all? Or were you just leaving the gateway open to see what would happen?
I left the gateway open. I have whenever I go out to a haunted location, I never like close the sessions down until I leave the location. And with this experiment, I treated it the same way. I didn't close the sessions down. There were a couple of times, I think, halfway through where I actually said goodbye.
Yeah.
Just to see if it would have any impact on the activity the following day, and it didn't. I tried doing, actually, as I was doing these sessions, I actually tried using, like, salt circles and different types of, binding rituals as, I was actually in contact with the entity. And that was really interesting, too, because the audio that I recorded within, like, the salt circles, as opposed to, when they were open and closed, was amazing. It was just absolutely amazing. I mean, it was creepy as hell, but the activity that...
What about it was creepy? What kind of sounds were you collecting?
I mean, we're talking about, like, screams, like, just threats, like, just Class A EVPs. You know, it wasn't just, like, a B or C EVP. Now, this is like full on, not just one single word responses. We're talking like full sentence responses. And these were all just like, maybe 1 to 2 minute first sessions where I just used a recorder that was on voice activated mode. And I would, place a salt circle around me and do an audio session because I was curious to see if the activity would. I was hearing noises when I was doing these sessions. I was hearing movement. I was hearing noises around the room that I was in. And I was curious to see if I could call it in closer, place the salt circle around it, and actually see if that would have any impact on the audio or, not just the responses that I was getting on the actual board, because that can be, I could be moving the planchette or whatever like that. But I was really curious to see if I could validate the responses that I was getting on the board through audio. And I was. I mean, that was, like, I thought one of the most amazing. I mean, for me as a paranormal investigator, when you're, using a device such as, like, a Ouija board, and you're, you could be moving it through the, idiomotor effect or whatever like that. But when you're able to actually get Class A EVPs along with that are actually validating what you're getting at the same time on the board, that to me was just, you know, a pretty cool evidence.
All right. So now you've been doing this. You've had the experiment. You've posted your findings. What do you really believe is going on then? And is this something that, you know, if people are interested in communicating, would you suggest rules to engagement on this, or do you suggest just leaving the being alone?
I would suggest just leaving the being alone. And for me, the reason why I did it is so that other people didn't have to do it. As weird as that sounds, I was, you know, really curious for one to see, you know, if the phenomena was legit. You know, I had came in contact. I wasn't sure if it was, you know, something that was real or if it was just something that I might have just got, you know, by chance a couple of times. But, you know, I would suggest people not try to duplicate the experiment. And, you know, it's one of those things where I run into people in the field, and some are, you know, been in the field for a while, some are just starting out. And it always surprises me what people say about Zozo, and they think it's almost like something that is cool to come in contact with. Or, you know, there's been some researchers who come up to me and they're like, oh, you know, I'll be out on an investigation, I'll light them out. And they're like, hey, you know, we should contact Zozo tonight. You know, that would be really cool to come in. I'm like, why would you want to do that? You know, for me, the biggest problem that I have had is that I feel that I've not been able to get rid of the entity. And I almost feel like it contaminates a lot of the places that I go to. You know, with the audio and different phenomena, and it's been really hard for me to know whether, you know, when I go to a haunted location like the Hinsdale House or some other place, to know if the responses that I am getting are from the Hinsdale House or if it's from Zozo.
Right.
And it's been, you know, and that for me has been kind of a nightmare, you know, because it seems that all I have to do is for someone to get, you know, for someone to even mention, for me to bring it up. And it was kind of funny. The first investigation that Selena and I went on was at the Hinsdale House. And we were actually laying down on the couches. She was on like one side of the living room. I was on the other. And I said, look, you know, or she said something like, oh, you know, you should just try to contact Zozo really quickly. I said, just watch. I said, I grabbed my recorder and I said, watch. I said, you know, Zozo, if you hear, can you say your name into the recorder? And Selena, what did it say?
Well, it says, my name is Zozo.
Yeah.
It's very...
right away. And for the rest of that investigation, I was getting, like, Zozo-related stuff. That's all
yep.
It took. And that's why, like,
and is this audio? Is this audio and video available for people that are listening right now to review and hear for themselves some of these EVPs?
Yep, and all the video that we record is unedited. I mean, there are some edited clips on YouTube, but I would say 95% of the content that we do on YouTube is live. It's completely unedited. These sessions just consisted of me pretty much in this room with like a Ouija board. And that was it. You know, there was some other equipment around, like audio recorders and stuff like that, but it's completely live. Well, at the time, it was live and completely unedited.
Well, I'd love to see it. I know we're going to put the links up to both of your websites so people can follow you, follow along, and pick up your book and get this done. So what's your next step, guys? I mean, what do you do? Obviously, you can't walk around with this schmutz on your soul for the rest of your life, Tim. What's the next step of evolution for you?
For right now, I mean, I'm kind of staying away from the Zozo stuff. We did the we went to the Goatman's Bridge last weekend and we filmed something. But, you know, I'm trying to stay away from it. And, you know, for me, it answered a lot of questions that I had, you know, kind of lingering questions about like why I got into the field. And it, you know, it was kind of cool putting together the book with Selena because it kind of tied everything together a little bit for me about like how I got into the field and about some early childhood experiences that I had. So for me, I feel like just by working on the book and doing this experiment, it kind of answered a lot of the questions that I had regarding the Ouija board and some of the activity that I've been experiencing. So I would say that part of my curiosity has been satisfied. So I really don't have any need, feel any more need to contact it.
And what about you, Savannah? You've seen this opened up on Tim now. You see what's happened and the results and how it has continued. What has this done for you and your curiosity with the supernatural?
My curiosity with the supernatural is pretty much unchanged. I do feel a certain responsibility with this book and the way we talk about it and what we relate in it to reiterate that this is not a game and talking to Zozo is not cool. This is a very dangerous thing to do. And I think it's important that gets out there. I mean, they're making movies about it now and, Ouija boards are up in sales and all of that fun stuff. As for me personally, as long as I'm around Tim, Zozo is not going to pay any attention to me whatsoever. So I think I'll be fine.
So Tim is your Zozo bait.
Yeah, pretty much. My Zozo shield.
Nice.
Zozo laser. Because I'm a really nice person like that. But the thing of it that really got to me when we were at Goatman's Bridge last week is when we're listening to EVP sessions, it is so distinct. The voice that primarily came through during the experiment was so distinct that Tim and I were like probably 8-10 feet apart. And we both looked up at the same time and went, well, there it goes. Because at that point, the entity is there. And once it's there, it doesn't go anywhere.
A&E's Emmy-nominated groundbreaking docuseries Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath has returned for Season 2. New episodes every Tuesday at 9 p.m., 8 p.m. Central on A&E. Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath follows Leah Remini along with high-level former Scientology executives and church members as they delve deep into shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment experienced by those who have left the church and spoken publicly about their experiences. If you have not watched this series, I highly recommend taking a look at it. They were talking about some things and uncovering monsters in this church that pale by comparison. Zozo characters seem almost like a caricature compared to what they're uncovering with this reality of Scientology and the people coming forward to share their stories. The series also explores accounts of former members whose lives have now been significantly impacted by the church's practices. Leah Remini is helping people to take action, turning survivors into fighters, and revealing truths and seeking justice. She's fantastic, a friend of our show, and I encourage you to take a look and watch Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, every Tuesday on A&E, and you can follow up with them on the A&E app and online as well. Yeah, we talk about the realities of fear and things, like this. Are we creating, when you've got groups like Scientologists mentally breaking people, I often wonder if some of these weird fragments of consciousness we run into are broken aspects of people's personalities. And when you're trying to communicate through a Ouija board or EVP, I wonder if sometimes you're picking up fragmented aspects of the people that were there. A lot of the mediums and metaphysical practitioners will tell you that they can do this thing called soul retrieval, where when you've had experiences throughout your life, and sometimes, especially when it gets into kind of shattering experiences, how you can leave bits and pieces of yourself behind. And their job is to kind of go through the astral plane or whatever and recollect these soul particles. It makes you think maybe there's something to a haunting, and sometimes maybe why a haunting takes place, guys, at a location of somebody who's very much alive, but yet their ghost is still being heard or seen. And you're like, how can this be possible? We jump to the conclusion that it might be evil because it's a doppelganger of someone alive. But I often wonder, and I'm curious what you guys think, and especially Tim, you've had a chance to investigate many locations, and Selena, as a investigator and researcher yourself, what do you think about just the idea of fragmented consciousness?
Go ahead, Sam.
I'm sorry. I think it's a viable possibility. I think that with the growing interest and popularity in paranormal television shows or YouTube channels or radio shows, that more people are inclined to try investigation. And in the process, I think that it's very easy, especially when you're first starting out, to mistake your own baggage for something paranormal. So I think there's a level of validity to that idea.
And Tim, what are your thoughts on the fragmented consciousness?
No, I do. I have the same thoughts as Selena. The one thing I can say, which was really kind of eerie for me, is sometimes when I would do these sessions, I would almost black out. And sometimes I would pick up visuals while on the Ouija board. And I told Selena this once, but the one thing that always kind of scared me a little bit is that these visualizations that I would get, I feel would replace some of my own memories. And it's kind of like the reverse of fragmented consciousness. You're almost picking up energies from whatever you're communicating with. But that, to me, was sometimes a little bit freaky. And sometimes those, like the things that I experienced when I was younger, those things are just so vivid and so clear. It's almost like sometimes when sometimes when I would get on the Ouija board, I would pick up like just like a split second of like a visualization of something that I feel that it wanted me to see.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel that those, when I look back, I almost feel that it's just so clear that memory or whatever visualization I picked up replaced with something from my own consciousness, which is kind of trippy, I don't know what exactly, sometimes it was showing me or whatever like that, but, I would definitely get responses that were backed up through, EVP. So that's, it's definitely trippy, but I do believe, that people can, imprint as well. But I believe that, whatever it is that we were communicating with, I don't think it was, what it was calling itself, Zozo. It definitely was highly intelligent and was picking up on the energies of the people that were watching the show. And that, to me, was probably the scariest thing. That it was not only picking up on my energy, but the people that were invested in watching the live show or watching the tape once it was taped.
You've got a unique kind of connection with your audience and putting this out there for people to see. What is their responses when they see these kind of shows going on and the aftermath to you?
Yeah, It's kind of funny. Sometimes, our viewers come from all these, different backgrounds and stuff. A lot of them, come across with our skeptics, which I love, and to me, so we have the believers and we have the people that are kind of middle of the road. To me, my favorite thing is coming across someone who's like, totally skeptical about the situation. And, like this Jane person who started watching, she was really skeptical. And then when we started getting responses that were directed to her, that was really, really fascinating because she had been kind of like a 180. So, it's just really interesting. I think, when people watch the shows that we do, my main thing is just to, I want to share my experiences with them and I want them to be able to experience, what's going on there. I mean, that's my main intention, and to show people that, lots of times I feel that I learn as much from the people that are watching, they'll told me to try different things or do things a different way to validate, to further validate whatever I'm doing. So for me, I think it goes both ways. They're, you know, helping me as much as I'm, like, you know, helping them, you know, giving them entertainment. It, you know, some people watch a show for entertainment. Some people, you know, watch it because, you know, they want to experience something, you know, and giving people that experience, is, to me, is, you know, the most, is the greatest thing.
Selena, what are you hoping people get out of the book?
Well, I'm hoping that, they get a sense of how to approach something they don't believe in with a healthy dose of skepticism, but also being open-minded to the possibility that it exists. But the main thing that I hope people get from the book is do not try this at home ever, 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 ever. It's a bad idea. I mean, there's a reason why Tim, and to a lesser degree me, are able to do this kind of experiment, because we understand the paranormal after years of investigation. But a group of teenagers in a basement on a Saturday night after prom, the last thing you want to do is open up a door to Zozo, because once that door is open, you cannot close it.
Good points. Good insight. September 22nd, that's when the book comes out, but you can pre-order it right now. Only $4.99 for the Kindle edition, Stalked by the Zozo Demon Real Life Paranormal Experiment. We'll have a link up to that and to our guests' websites. That's it for today. Thank you all for tuning in, and be back again with us tomorrow. And don't forget, there's just a few days left. If you sign up right now for True Crime Tuesday, we're going to be doing a drawing around the 1st of September, and you may win a one-year subscription to True Crime Tuesday. So again, sign up right now. Take advantage of the best in True Crime Talk Radio. You'll get 4 brand new episodes every month, 90 to 120 minutes long. Fantastic episodes to check out, and check out today's. As a matter of fact, you've been hearing all the news about the new Martin Scorsese film coming out with De Niro and Pacino, and Joe Pesci is signed on. Well, we've got the guy that wrote the book about The Irishman. You're going to hear about closing the case on Hoffa and JFK and so much more. Check it out. Sign up now for only $5 a month. That's just $1.25 per episode. You can't go wrong. Less than a cup of coffee, and you get some of the best true crime talk radio out there, and you'll be entered into that drawing. You may win a one-year subscription. You can find information by going to darknessradio.com. Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner and sign up right now. I want to thank our guests for being a part of the show with us this evening. Selena Summers, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
It's been a pleasure. Tim, always great chatting with you. I hope you can clear the ick out of your aura and be back up and running in a healthy state soon, sir.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right, take care, and take care all of you listening. Remember, be careful. Sometimes what you look for, you just may find, and when you find it, you may not like what you find. So be prepared, understand what you're doing, and don't just jump into a fad. Really research, understand, and follow in the footsteps of others that have been there first. That's it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow with more of the best in Paranormal Talk Radio.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.